This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarks and Stripes podcast. We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Smarks and Stripes. My name is Bill Matz. I am joined by Eric the Turtle Golden. I just can't say it any other way now. Now that you've opened
the
door.
I both lovingly hate and lovingly want to thank Michael Barkan for calling me Turtle the entire time.
The funniest part is, and this has nothing to do with wrestling, we're just BSing right now. The other day I'm talking to Big Daddy Graham about how your nickname was Turtle just because you only wore hats.
So I definitely, when I was younger, as I'm now here, almost 34 years here, and 13 years working here, I was going bald.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to show it, so I wore a backwards hat, and I thought the chin strap beard was
that was
cool.
The look.
Like this little tiny chin strap.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that the biggest show around that time was Entourage.
Yeah.
So, backwards hat, chubby kid, chin strap beard.
But I'm talking to BDG the other night, and he tells me that, like, the first time he'd seen you in a while, you're sitting there, you're like having a full-on conversation and you're not wearing a hat, and he has no idea who you are. And that's like the least, if you know the guy at all, it's the least surprising thing. But he was just like, Turtle wears hats. I'm talking to this guy. He's just sitting here talking to me. I have no idea who it is. Took me like 5 minutes to figure it out. I'm like,
not shocking, but all
not,
love, Big Daddy.
Yeah,
all love.
It's not surprising. No, but that's just something I had to share with
a little
you.
Little inside radio here. It was a little quick segment. I like it.
Little inside WIP here as we're sitting in the studio. Turtle, this was an interesting week in wrestling. Since the last time we did a podcast, Super Showdown happened in Jeddah.
Ooh.
And unless you actually watch the show, you wouldn't know, unless you have Google, that Jeddah is in Saudi Arabia.
Correct.
And there's like reasons to do it, reasons to not. It's ridiculous, but at the end of the day, since when do we care about ethics and business? Like
all these
people sitting here, I'm gonna boycott it, tweeting from their iPhone, wearing Nikes, like, okay.
As they're still watching it.
Yeah. And they're definitely watching.
Well, that match was terrible. I'm going to boycott.
Yeah. But how do you know the spot that happened in the middle of the card? Like, yeah.
Even if you watch it again on Twitter, quote unquote, you're still watching it.
Yeah.
You're still getting clicks and likes and retweets and comments. And that's all
and
they want.
It's trending. Yeah. They clearly don't care about television ratings
absolutely
or anything.
Not.
They just care about trending. But Super Showdown happened. It was a fine show.
Yeah.
It was whatever. There's nothing major happened. I like that they went with an underdog, that Mansoor kid, for the 51-man battle royal. That was cool. The only thing that happened worth talking about is The Undertaker versus Bill Goldberg. I can't believe they both survived.
Literally, throughout that match, there were 4 to 5 different spots where I both thought they were going to knock themselves out completely. And Goldberg said he did knock himself out.
Oh, he knocked himself out. Like right away, going for that tackle in the corner. Undertaker moves. He hits his head on the turnbuckle. Now he's busted wide open from that spot. I watched his entrance again. Either he busted himself open, just psyching himself up, ramming his head against like the wall, or he wanted to get some color in this match. But since you're not allowed to blade anymore on TV. He did it, super glued it, and then it just opened up in the middle of the match because that's how you go about. That's how you get around that rule now. Vince McMahon does it.
Pre-do it.
Yeah, he pre.
It was the same. It was one or the other. Kevin Owens headbutt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Vince McMahon does it even. Yeah, so it was one or the other. Watching this match though, and we were talking about this before we started recording. This is one I won't blame on Vince and how bad.
Not at all.
Because if the Saudi prince, king, dictator, whoever says, "Hey, I want Undertaker Goldberg, and I'm going to pay him each however." Many millions of dollars to do it when they're already paying you for the show. Like these things are so.
Oh, exactly.
These things don't cost WWE anything. They pay the talent. They are paid for the show. Gate doesn't even matter. If it was in an empty arena, they'd get their $10 million regardless. It was so bad, though.
Listen,
they can't keep letting these guys do this. Someone's gonna
going to
get
Somebody
hurt.
Is absolutely going to get hurt.
Like someone's going to die.
Goldberg literally and. I mean, literally dropped Undertaker on his head.
Okay. Forget that Goldberg knocked himself out early in the match. Like, literally. And he was very...
First five seconds.
He was very clearly concussed. Like, right away. He didn't know where he was. Say that doesn't happen. The fact that those two old-ass men thought that they could do that tombstone reversal spot.
Oh, jeez.
The fact that they thought they could do that is delusional.
It looked ugly back in the day with, like, Kane and Undertaker when they used to do it.
Yeah.
But now, like, the two dudes that can't lift 60 pounds above their head anymore... Are going to try
Undertaker's
that?
Tombstone, and like when you, especially now when you watch a tombstone pile driver, like they protect the hell out of you. Like they all look like when Kane did it to Linda.
The head is literally like belly button height.
Yeah.
Like there's
like,
no.
Like Kane's tombstone on Linda McMahon is now, that's how you give tombstones.
Yeah.
Like.
But this one was
Undertaker
not that.
Straight up did this like it was a shoot fight.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was. Suppose you saw his face.
Yeah.
Facials and you work on it, and Undertaker's probably one of the best. I've ever seen at the facial reactions in the ring, but you got up from that, I guess the jackhammer right around that thing right before he did it, and you just saw in his eyes just pure like, what the frick are you doing?
Yeah, that jackhammer, that honestly,
brainbuster.
Honestly,
jackhammer.
It might be the best brainbuster I've ever seen on WWE
and the
TV.
Worst jackhammer.
Oh yeah, if that's a jackhammer, it's the worst. But
well, you can't lift the bumpers anymore. You can't lift the bag.
The Undertaker's legit 300 pounds. Bill Goldberg's an old, and he looked great. Yeah, Bill looked great. And honestly, his promo on SmackDown before the show was awesome.
Yeah,
like coming into this is like
I was sort of excited.
I thought that if they just went out and did like. I called it a Transformers fight that Brock and Goldberg had at Mania a couple years ago.
Yes.
Like, here's two machines bumping into each other. Like, that was awesome. I thought that was a great 8-minute match. If they did that, it would have been great. But obviously.
No, they both thought they were 30 years old again.
Yeah, and obviously, when one of the two competitors is unconscious for a portion of the time, like things are going to get out of hand, and they did. But that was really the only thing that actually happened at Super Show. I mean, it was fine.
Yeah,
there were some good matches.
I actually didn't mind Shane's match.
We're going to get to Shane in a second.
Exactly, but it was fine. Listen, props to Shane for being 50-plus years old or whatever he is now.
I think he's 49,
and still fighting at a high level. Most recently, the anniversary of the Kurt Angle, Shane, like...
Well, King of the Ring match. That was awesome.
Like, that brought back memories.
I just... And that's where... I'm going to skip ahead. You don't even have the outline, so it doesn't matter what order I do this in. I'm going to skip ahead. I have Shane McMahon here because it's something I want to talk about. And here's the... Talking about that King of the Ring match with Kurt Angle, that where he just beat the hell out of him. That's how Shane McMahon was booked when Shane McMahon was like prime athletic age.
Yeah,
some guy's going to beat the crap out of you, and you're going to do crazy stuff and kick out and eventually lose. Yeah. Or, you know, DX is going to break up, and you're going to beat X-Pac because Triple H pedigreed him. You know, that's how Shane McMahon was booked as a 25-year-old.
And now?
Skip ahead to 49, and he is having legit competitive matches with the top guys.
Yeah.
Miz, Roman Reigns, Undertaker, AJ Styles. This is goddamn ridiculous. And it's not even that his character's bad, because it's not. The character would work.
I don't know whether to be impressed or scared for him.
The character would work if it wasn't for him. I'm watching SmackDown the other night. He has the opening segment. And I'm just like, no. No. I'm the last person WWE is going to lose. Like, Kevin, you know, Keenan is on his little strike, and lots of people are unhappy with the product. And listen, I get it. I watch.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose me. I watch WWE.
I watch just because it's routine.
Yeah.
I watch just because it's something to do. I watch because I got my girlfriend into it, and now she wants to watch. And she wants to complain and bitch and moan about whatever. Like, why is Alexa Bliss dropping a coffee mug? Like, who cares? Like, that's so dumb. Great. It's funny, but it's funny to see her do it. So I watch just because I'm similar to you. They're not going to lose me. I'm going to keep the network because I like watching old school King of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. That
was the anniversary.
I'm putting this together last night watching 97 Raws, and I'm like, oh, my God, this was so good.
I love just pulling up a random Raw out of the blue.
Yeah.
Or a random SmackDown when The Rock was on, just giving a killer-ass promo for no apparent reason. I love doing that stuff.
Yeah.
It's the Netflix of wrestling, and I'm going to keep it for that reason.
Yeah. I'm watching Shane, and he's got this first segment, and I'm just sitting there like, no, you can't keep doing this. This makes no sense. I don't care how good his character is. The logic of Shane McMahon right now, I am recognizing that it's good.
Yes.
I just can't take it because it's him. I don't need the McMahons anymore. I don't need to see the McMahons anymore. So, it's over.
So 2 or 3 days ago, I guess it was 4 months since the three of them came out with Triple H and said, we're going to give you a new product and da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
And what's new? Like, listen, I actually am enjoying Shane right now. I'm impressed with his age. I'm impressed with his abilities. I'm impressed
the fact that he can go out and do it is crazy.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying that for what it is, but it's just too much. Like, listen, we get it. Have the one Shane segment, 5, 10. I'll even give you a 15-minute opener. Raw or SmackDown's fine. But don't keep coming back to it. Like, it's just, you've got nothing else going on.
He's not even a special attraction now.
Yeah.
He's a roster superstar. He's like everyone else on the...
One of the biggest times I've popped in wrestling history was when Shane came back the first time.
Oh, that was nuts.
Out of the blue. When Steph was giving the award to her dad. And I wasn't a big dirt sheet reader then. And I'm still trying not to be now because it takes away all the fun. If WrestleVote's Twitter account tweets out, oh, spoiler alert, blah, 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 whatever's happening. One of the biggest pops I've ever had, and probably watched it 50 times since, was that return on Raw. At this point, I'm just like, eh.
No, it's just, it's not even an attraction anymore because he's just any other guy. He's just doing matches every week in every storyline. And the worst part about this, as I'm sitting there getting mad in the opening segment of SmackDown, after that, segment for segment, SmackDown was a good show. Yeah. I'm not telling you it was like a mind-blowing.
It was a solid Tuesday night show.
I enjoyed every single segment after that for for an hour, 45 minutes, however long it was. And I'm just, how are they doing this? And then I'm watching some other shows. I hear, you know, through Twitter and everything. You know what happened on 205 Live? Chad Gable and Jack Gallagher had a match, and it was great. And like, Jack Gallagher is one of the reasons I don't watch 205 Live.
Why do you hate him so much?
I don't care how much jiu-jitsu you know. I'm sorry, I would beat you in a fight. You're this skinny little pale guy. No.
Fair.
No. You wouldn't beat up anybody ever.
The theater of mind thing for you is just like, that's not happening.
No, I have no suspension of disbelief with Jack Gallagher.
Okay.
But I hear about this match, and I like Chad Gable, want to see him get a shot, and he cut his hair, he's just in trunks, like he's got a new look, he's doing some different things. I sit down to watch this match. It's the opener of 205 Live. This is what the cruiserweight division should be. It reminded me of a Dean Malenko style WCW cruiserweight match. Like, this isn't Psychosis Rey Mysterio. And honestly, when you have guys like AJ Styles doing 450s in the main event, like that, the high flying stuff doesn't really do anything
for
me.
It's sort of one of the reasons, and I'm going to kind of compare this to AEW and the Bucks and Lucha, whatever the hell they're called, tag team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a fine match. It was entertaining. But every 30 seconds is another 450 this or a jump springboard that. Like, give me a story.
That's
not
those,
a spot fest.
Yeah, those matches, I always, like, I never want to watch those matches on TV. When I'm, like, at an ROH show and they're doing that stuff,
you're there, you're part of it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I always say those matches are great live, but, like, in terms of what I want to watch on TV, that's not my style of wrestling that I'm into. This match was freaking awesome. And I'm sitting there watching a guy like Chad Gable, who's had a bunch of, you know, stop and start pushes and different things have happened. I'm thinking, man, that Shane McMahon TV time could be going to a guy like Chad Gable, who can deliver in and out of the ring. Like, he's good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's the next Rock or anything,
but
you'll never know who the next Rock is.
He's just a mid-card guy.
Yeah.
He's a solid, let's put on a good show guy. It was something I was arguing with Kenan in the text messages about recently this week, too. He's like, well, it's always about the story and this, da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, well, no. Like, every time I've gone to an event, even a crappy-ass story, even an irrelevant story that I don't even know what it was between Gable and Gallagher, was made good because the wrestling was good.
Yeah.
Yes, I know your entertainment. Yes, I know that's their main focus now. But if you could save a shitty story by a great match, by two guys or girls just pouring it out there.
And that's the other thing is, if you're going to tell me the storyline is what matters and wrestling doesn't, stop giving me 20-minute TV matches and tell a damn story. Because they don't.
And
there aren't storylines.
There's
like,
none.
There's, it's not like they're writing it. So this is what we have. You're telling me, like, by the way, they do television and present it. Wrestling does matter, and that's I wanted to have Kenan this week so we could have this argument.
Right.
But he'll have plenty of time to rebut.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I think wrestling matters now more than ever, obviously, because there are no larger in life personalities. And like, Cena is gone, but all this like gets me to thinking about the Monday Night Wars and how WWF ultimately won by making new stars.
Yeah.
Like, if Hulk Hogan is still around, and they're on the other channel, it's not like they disappeared, but as we're seeing Bill Goldberg and The Undertaker and Shane McMahon, all dudes who were, you know, wrestling at the time of WrestleMania 15, like, we're seeing all these guys, we never get a chance to make, like, how do I know that Chad Gable isn't the next Rock? Like, I'm not saying he is, but I would not, no one had any idea, Paul Heyman knew, but no one else knew that Stone Cold was Stone Cold until Austin 316.
So Velveteen Dream did an interesting little thing in his Instagram stories recently. Instead of blaming the stories, he started blaming the wrestlers. And I've retweeted a bunch of them, you can go back, and he's has them up on his actual Instagram now, too. Like, every guy you just went over there, almost, like, Dr. Isaac Yankum, whatever.
Yeah.
Terrible character. Terrible stories. But they trusted the guy, and he came through as
Kane. Yeah.
Whatever the hell Stone Cold's guy was before
that. Ringmaster.
The Ringmaster, yeah. I can't remember what it was called. Terrible story. Awful thing. Yeah, I guess the Million Dollar Man calling him in was sort of cool, but they trusted him, and he became Stone Cold.
Stone Cold. And that's the thing. You have to. That's the. When you listen to Bruce Pritchard talk about Triple H, it was. Vince McMahon never thought Triple H was a main eventer. He's like, he's nice, intercontinental, gonna put on
Blue Blood Hunter, Hurst Helmsley,
gonna have a great 8-minute TV match.
Yep,
and that's who he is. And
they
then
trusted him.
You get him, he builds up enough trust. You give him another segment. Next thing you know, hey, he's really funny. Let's have him out there with Shawn and. You know,
boom.
Triple H becomes Triple H.
Yeah.
And we'll never know if we don't try. And it just seems like outside of Roman Reigns, who are they trying?
And
are they even trying with Roman Reigns anymore?
I'd be willing to bet any amount of money that if you really gave Roman Reigns freedom on the mic.
Oh, if you let him off the leash. Yeah.
Like pure, empty freedom for him. He could even transform his character to something even bigger.
Yeah.
The big dog, it was fine, but, like, great. I'm going to spear you and Superman punch you and pin you. Like, woohoo!
I'm watching this thing with the Super Showdown, and he's got the match with Shane. And I'm sitting there watching, and I'm like, Are they trying to get Roman over the top by doing what we hate when they do it to the guys we like? Like, yeah. If they bury him, do they think we'll like him more?
Maybe.
Like, it's such ass backwards logic, yeah. But I can see them thinking, hey, you know, when we make Daniel Bryan job out because we're trying to kill the Yes Movement, it built him up more. Let's try that with this guy.
It's got to be something. I really do hope and pray that once this XFL thing takes off, and maybe it does last for a year or two, and Vince's attention is completely elsewhere, and he hopefully hands the reins to Triple H.
It's
because you'll see guys like Velveteen Dream. Like, Patrick Clark was boring as all hell.
Yeah, he was tough enough,
and he was a good wrestler, I guess.
I saw him at an NXT house show a couple years ago, I think over at the Tower, and literally people were chanting, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
And now Velveteen Dream, to me, is the best thing. It's the best thing in pro wrestling to me. Like, he's my favorite character in all of wrestling right now.
But you let it get, you trust the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Triple H trusted this kid, literally a kid. He's probably, what, 25 now? Or so, or
yeah, he's a young guy, yeah.
To become something bigger. And he combined characters, essentially. And now, you're right. He's one of the acts I can't wait to see, either every Wednesday or every TakeOver or every anything. Trust these guys, please.
And I just wanted to wrap this up. But like, if you have the time, go out of your way to watch this 205 Live Chad Gable, Jack Gallagher match. This isn't like...
We know it's weird, but yeah, do it anyway.
I'm telling you. Like, I don't like Gallagher. He bothers me. It was really good. It wasn't a Kenny Omega, like, six-star marathon or anything. I'm not saying that. It was just a really good... Yeah. This is what the Cruiserweight division should be.
Again, I'll say it one more time. Wrestling matches can overcome terrible stories. And this is what it did.
To that same thing, on NXT this week, Drew Gulak versus Kushida in a submission match. Really good. Just really good wrestling.
A solid match. Yeah,
enjoyable.
Really cool story.
If you're down on WWE, as is, I gotta believe, 100% of their audience, watch this and you'll just go, oh. So it's wild that they can have these matches and see, like, this works,
well,
too.
They finally trust people down there.
So we're going to jump over to the other promotion real fast, okay. AEW. Big announcement. Fyter Fest on Saturday, June 29th from Daytona Beach, Florida will be free on Bleacher Report Live. And I found this very interesting because of who tweeted it. I saw they announced it at something that's E3 or whatever the hell's going on right now. I saw TNT tweet it. And that tells me they get it.
Yeah.
Listen, making money on these pay-per-views is important. You're an upstart, but you have a billionaire backer and you have a backbone audience right now. The most important thing with you launching television, bring in that television audience. And the only way to do that is expose people to the product. What's your biggest complaint? $50 for a show that I've never seen before?
Exactly. I didn't pay a dime for it. I'm not going to pretend I did. I watched the majority of it. But they should have done this the first time. Listen, I'll watch the second time because it's free. Why the hell not?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait now because it's free.
But this is what they should have done to start. I'm already annoyed enough with them as it is that being the elite club is essentially running a promotion that's essentially just going to give all of them pushes. Like, if you're going to tell me that Cody is going to start at the bottom and work to the top, I might be a little more interested. But if you're going to tell me that Cody right away, day number one, is their top guy, essentially?
Well, who else would it be?
One of the three top guys? Well, but that's the problem. So
aren't unknown entities. That's the, right, these the, guys the, are still
their
known.
Club, their quote-unquote club is just going to run the promotion, and that's all it's going to be? So the Bucks are always just going to get put over? Hangman Page is just going to get put over always?
I mean, Jericho, you have Omega. There's lots of guys in the promotion, but the known quantities are going to be your top guys to start. Yeah. That's just how you do business.
I get it. It just doesn't entertain me the way I think it should right away.
I think, given the vibe around WWE right now, this is so important because people are looking to jump ship, but people are also like, I am paying $10 a month for the network. I do have all these other things. Oh, it's free. All right, I will give this a shot. And right. It is, man, it's already weird that they're running these pay-per-views and essentially have a promotion.
Yeah, with no story.
With
line,
no story, no television to go with it. Now, there's the road to every show. Like, they have their YouTube channels and all that stuff to supplement. But it's just a different way to go about business than we've ever seen before. You get on TV and then you build, like ECW. It took them years just to get a pay-per-view. Like getting barely legal in 97 is the toughest thing like anyone's ever done, apparently. Right. And that's, they built that way.
I'm stunned they're doing it this way. I really am.
Yeah, it's, and it's working. It's working for them so far.
They've introduced essentially nobody to these athletes. Nobody to the guys in the Battle Royal. Unless you are a big indie fan, you don't know half of these guys. Like, who the hell is Joey Janela? Like, yes, I've seen enough to know who he is, but they haven't told me who he is. They haven't told me his story. They haven't told me Kip Sabin's story. They haven't told me all these other guys' stories. They just haven't. And that's what I thought their first few weeks of TV would be. Like, introducing Person X. Here's who he is. Here's why you need to want him. Here's why you need to watch him. Here's why you want to be him. But they just got to hear, our wrestling's going to show you. And it worked.
Yeah, and it is working. I do think the Battle Royals have been important just in terms of introducing guys. And JR, I will say, like, I've been down on good old JR. Just listening to him in New Japan, and I'm not one of these people who's like, oh my God, he's so big, he can't pronounce these names. Like, if you listen to me pronounce European players' names on Broad Street Hockey, exactly. I struggle. And yeah, it's not like I'm not doing my homework. It's just when you're just talking, your mouth says crazy stuff sometimes. And we all know about Jim Ross. He's got that southern twang, but he talked about it like, listen, that's, I'm in a recording studio like this, watching on a monitor and doing, you know, the voiceovers, as, and it's just not as good. And I understand. So I was looking forward to seeing him. Man, I'm not saying he's Attitude Era JR anymore, but he's still damn good. He's so much better than I thought he'd be.
I didn't love him throughout most of the night until Ambrose showed up. And now he said he legitimately had no idea that this was going
on.
Yeah,
they didn't tell him, yeah.
So that right there brought me back in. It was fine the rest of the night. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad.
They're going to do Moxley and Omega at the All Out show in August, the Chicago show, mm-hmm. basically the one-year anniversary of All In. Without TV, are they giving away too much? Like, Moxley Omega should be their, like, Hogan. That should be their Hogan Flair. And, you know, WCW did Hogan Flair right away, but you could watch it. It was on Nitro, and then they built to a pay-per-view. So
the only thing you're telling me that why they're fighting right now is because he came in at the end of the match, beat up him and Jericho, and, oh, he threw him off the stacked chips or woo,
and that's like that's a good way to start a feud.
Keyword is start.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Not end it with no middle. There's no meat to the story right now.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want them to feel like their pay-per-views have to be WrestleMania every month. And then 2 months into TV, we've seen everything. Like, don't burn it out right away.
Well, and that's going to be the problem with such a small roster right now. It's unfortunately one of the problems WWE is allowing themselves to have too, but they have a massive roster.
Yeah, they just ignore guys.
They just ignore people.
Yeah.
With such a small roster, you're going to have your two or three Shawn Spears, Luchasaurus matches in the middle, and then you're going to have your Bucks. Like, yeah, Dustin said they're never going to fight again. Bullshit.
Yeah.
100% chance that him and Cody fight.
That match was awesome.
It was a great match, but there's 100% chance it's going to happen again.
Sure.
And again, and again, and again.
I just totally lost my train of thought on this one. Okay. Oh, that, yeah. So going back to WWE, the best thing they have is Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah.
My God, is this good?
But it still needs that payoff soon.
It needs to go
it's
somewhere.
It's getting close to the point. I agree with you. Bray Wyatt or whatever
he's
Mr. Rogers
incredible.
Character, Mr. Bean combination he's been doing right now is amazing.
I can't believe movie studios aren't calling. Like if I was him, I'd already be looking to bail. I get it. He's a third generation wrestler. His brother, like, I get it. He's got wrestling in his DNA. But if you're not using me, like, I'm Bray Wyatt, I'm one of the five best performers in this company, use me.
It's getting to the point.
He's an amazing actor.
It's getting to that point, and I agree with you 100%.
I need that shirt. Did you? They put out the Ramblin'
shirt.
You saw this week's sketch with the Ramblin' Rabbit, yep. And then the Jam. He's like, oh, that yeah. reminds me, the Jam. It's just the label of the Ramblin'
oh,
Rabbit
nice.
Jam.
I gotta get that.
I was like, I need this shirt. Like, I'm actually excited to buy this stupid ass shirt.
But again, it's getting to that point.
It needs to go somewhere.
It has to be. The payoff. It's got to come soon. Whether it's the darkness hits and the fireflies come out and all of a sudden it's Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood Music and he's tripping down, like skipping and hopping. Great. But get him out there.
And it needs to be big. I think.
Well, who could it be then?
Brock. Brock needs to be about to. He needs to finally cash in and he needs to be about to beat Seth and he just takes them both out. That's what it has to be.
I'd be all for that. But my only
I can't imagine anything else big enough.
My only issue with the Brock being that guy is he's not around enough. Unless his new deal says I'm going to be around twice a month.
Oh, no, it has to be. I don't even think they need to have a match.
That's fine.
I just think this is how he needs to make his big comeback and then also attack Seth, like the way Moxley came in, basically.
Put him in the title picture,
Moxley comes in and attacks both guys, and then he has a feud with one. I'd bring him in, I'd have him interrupt and ruin the cash in, and then him and Seth have a feud. Like, and then Brock goes away forever. That's fine with me.
I'd be all for that, but just think about it this way, just to add to this, if it is Brock. That'd be like the third year in a row where Money in the Bank has meant nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you put it on Brock, you kind of...
I mean, yeah, but at least let him... I mean, I get it. I want this now. Now this is my thing. I'm all in on this. But it'd be like the third year in a row where it's meant nothing?
Yeah.
And that's not good?
Just a couple of things real quick to wrap up, Turtle. I wanted to do a new segment just this week in wrestling history. 2 days ago was the 2-year anniversary of Omega Okada 2.
To this day?
Yeah.
A match I've never seen.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, their trilogy. Listen, I don't think it's the greatest thing. It's awesome. I'm just, there's so many matches.
See, that's the problem I have with all the extras, and this is what AEW is going to have to do. For me, it's just almost too much. If it's 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, an hour of NXT, 2 hours of NXT, depending on how many I watch in a row, if I get backed up or not, it just becomes too much. And they're going to have to give me a reason to split my time.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the best wrestling match you've ever seen? That's what I want to get to. Because so many people will say the Omega Okada, their whole feud was all of them. Oh my God, 7 stars, 9 stars, 420 stars. What's the best match you've ever seen?
I don't know this is going to rate highly on many people's lists, but the Hardys, Edge and Christian, Dudley Boy, TLC.
At 17?
Yes.
Okay.
Ladders, tables, ladders, chairs, whatever the hell
that's the standard.
It was just... two teams I've loved forever,
mm-hmm.
and Ed. Christian was fine. Like I think he's a lot funnier now than he ever was any time with WWE, but that's beside the point. It was just a whole mess of people that I enjoyed watching doing exactly what I enjoyed them doing.
Yeah.
Tables. Hardy flipping off of the entire damn thing. Edge doing a whole bunch of crazy shit. Like, it's not the best match in the world. It's not the best match ever, but it's always the match that if you tell me, ask me what's your favorite, it's easily the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, that's we've talked about this before. My favorite match ever is Triple H and The Rock ladder match, SummerSlam 98. I just freaking love that match.
Yeah.
I would say the best match I've ever seen is Michaels Undertaker in Hell in a Cell.
Well, that was
just... it was everything. It's the Attitude Era perfect. It's DX Michaels. It's the introduction of Kane. It's the best of everything from... Yeah. It's gotta be Kane! Like, JR and Vince McMahon on commentary, just perfect. The whole thing, perfect. And June 12th, 2005, so 14 years ago yesterday, ECW One Night Stand.
The original.
The original One Night Stand. Other than, like, the Monday Night Wars, and honestly, right now, I think, like, we're in that Darkest Before Dawn time period. Mm-hmm. Like, this was the most excited I ever was as a wrestling fan.
I think so,
like,
too.
This time period when it was like, oh my, they're going to, this is going to change the business again. And then we all know, one day we'll get around to that damn ECW show.
Next time we talk to Dreamer, we got to ask him about that, too.
The original One Night Stand and then what became of, you know, the ECW brand and all that. We absolutely have to get to Dreamer. And then, obviously, Kevin has a lot of stories from that time period because he's brought in to do ECW.
Which, by the way, because I was a big ECW fan, probably even before WWE, it was the... Let me watch on Channel 48 or wherever the hell it was way back in the day. And because right after that, it was the scrambled naked channel every now and then, too. But beside that, it was just good fun. And now, by the way, seeing like RVD and Sabu and Impact.
Well, I mean, man, I saw Sabu on that. Hardcore Rising or Extreme Rising show, whatever the hell the Fly By Night promotion was that ripped. I was one of the people who bought a ticket to that. And then was like, yeah, the guy who owns it just moved to Florida and we don't think there's going to be a second show. Sorry?
but I watched it.
Like, I saw Sabu, and that was like 5-6 years ago. I saw Sabu on that and was like, dude. Like, yeah,
he did the spot with the leg drop with the chair underneath. Like, barely could get on the road.
That's the, like, and he was never, like, he did a bunch of crazy stuff, but it was never pretty to begin with.
No, this, like, made it worse. It's like, you couldn't, like, RVD trying to do the 5-star off the rope, couldn't barely stand straight up, like, the freaking ponytail pulled back, and the Widow's Peak hairline.
Yeah, his ponytail, man, it's like, Michaels at the end, before Michaels realized he just had to cut it.
Undertaker.
Like, oh my god, Undertaker just looks bad. He looks so bad. That match couldn't have been good just because of the way he looks, honestly.
His face is caved in, his chest is caved in. But anyway, to see all my old ECW like favorites in that, oof.
Honestly, I will remember that event for one thing. The Sandman entrance. Oh, yeah. And Mike Awesome and Tanaka, they just beat the ever-loving hell at each other for like 10 minutes. It was like a murder. Like, it was like, I've never seen anything that violent. They just beat the crap out of each other. But that Sandman entrance and WWE
took like 10 minutes or so.
they've edited you know, Metallica out since. Well, but the DVD, it's not on there, it's not on the network, anything. But they actually paid for the music to play it live, and it was, that was ECW. Like, that crowd actually felt like it was an ECW. It was a real thing.
It was.
And it was
for
so
one
much
one last time.
Yeah.
And then the second show came around,
yeah, and Randy Orton's on it. Yeah. Well, I think it was Orton Angle was
something
on the
like
second
that.
ECW show.
Like, bro, like, just, I get, oh, you have to filler matches, and sometimes you want stars to, like,
that
bro.
Heyman promo in the first one, though, when he just was killing it. Like, the only reason you were champ for our years because Triple H didn't want to work Tuesdays. That was so good. Oh, my God. And now you have to memorize a script.
Yeah. And everybody but Paul Heyman. Hopefully.
Everyone but Paul Heyman, yeah, I guess. And that's even, like, we talked last week about how counterintuitive their creative is. Like, who are the people you've given leashes to? Paul Heyman, New Day, Bray Wyatt. Oh, the only acts who are over. Like, the only people who get a reaction on the mic? Oh, you don't say. The Miz? Like, and Miz is an actor, so he's, like, actually good at memorizing things. I wouldn't be surprised.
You clearly gave him leeway. You
I'm sure he's allowed to improv, but I'm sure he still has a more, you know, more of a script than Bray Wyatt.
I read a story when he was out there with the B team and all that. They were crushing Enzo that one time.
Yeah.
That Enzo was told, like, if you say a word, you're fucking fired. So he, like, got shit on the
entire 15-minute
promo.
That's,
and he just couldn't say a word.
Not,
I mean, he was fired anyway. He probably would have been better off to be fired then. But.
Yeah, probably. Not the least bit surprising in any way. All right, Turtle, I think that basically wraps it up for this week.
I'm going to go watch One Night Stand now.
I start, like, thinking about things like this because I'll start thinking about what could be. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can watch it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the beauty of the network, is they'll never fully lose me. Like, I'm already thinking.
That's the problem.
Like, if AEW starts and it's awesome, man, I'm just going to watch NXT, NXT UK, and AEW. And I'm like, oh, wow. And then I watched 205 Live this week for the first time ever. It's a 48-minute show, and there were two really good matches on it. Like, okay.
The company overthinks it. NXT is popular right now because it's plain and simple. You get your stories in, you get your stories out, you go to the ring. Not 3+ hours, it used to be, not 3 hours hard.
At least there's not an overrun anymore.
But at least then you were trying to make, like, that last 4 minutes matter. at least you were building to something. Now
it's
you're
just
like
it's a 3-hour show and you couldn't get it all in. Like there was 2 hours of filler. What do you mean you needed 15-20 minute overrun?
Many times on Raw where I go, we could have used that extra 2 minutes, that extra 3 minutes, and we go, oh, so you just had to end because it was 11:59:40, and you're like, well, we're done in 20 seconds, so bye.
Yeah. And that's the, when they used to, like, that's such a little thing Monday Night Raw used to do back in the, oh, we're going to stick with this match until there's a winner. We're not going to take another commercial break. We got the overrun from USA. We are sticking with this. Yep. Or the show would go off the air, and you couldn't wait to find out the next week how it ended. Like,
and
there's
now
so
you
many,
ended just in surprising fashion with a roll-up, with a this or that or whatever. It's like, oh, we're done. And then I look down, and it's 30 seconds till time off. See you, bye.
And that is all the time we have for you on Smarks and Stripes this week.
No overrun on Smarks and Stripes.
No overrun on Smarks and Stripes. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for joining us. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. Give us those good reviews. Give us those 5 stars. Tell all your friends about this show, too. You only have so many friends to talk to about wrestling.
Do it.
That's how we started, because we only have so many people we can talk to.
I only talk to Bill and Kevin.
Yeah, I only have so many people I can talk to about wrestling, so I decided let's start recording it. Hang out with us. Talk to us about wrestling. Hit us up on Twitter at SmarkStripes for Turtle. My name is Bill Matz. Have a great week, everybody.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.